Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd of Idea Dudes, and this show we're going to discuss application pools and websites. Who am I? I've been in the industry for over 23 years. I've worked with the United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, Army, governments, and companies around the world. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. So a worker process is what we deal with in an IS-7.0. And we also had an IS-6.0, but IS-7.0, it represents an application pool. So each application pool gets its own worker process. A pool will never have an effect on applications in other pools. So what this does is this provides a boundary for the application so that they're not sharing data, and if one of the applications go down, then the other one will also be affected. It's not going to happen that way. With IS-5.0, that's how it was. But IS-6.0 introduced the application pools, and now they've been improved with an IS-7.0. So if an application goes down in one of the other pools, it's not going to affect any of the other applications. But if you have multiple applications in the same pool, one crashes, it's going to crash everything else. If a process crashes, this is the only process that will be affected. Only processes within an application pool will be affected and can share data. So it's like a security bound or a boundary, like a bubble on each of the different applications. If you're not in the same pool, you're not going to be able to share data. And also that protects things for security purposes also. So application pool, multiple applications can be assigned to one application pool. But the thing is they must have the same .NET framework. You can't have .NET 1.1 or no managed code within a pool that has managed code. So you have to have the same .NET framework. Only one .NET framework is available for the application pool. Now you have integrated or classic. When you go to classic, then you're going back to IS-6.0 when you're looking at the type of pipeline. And one app pool per .NET version and runs in the site identity. So there's going to be an account that is going to be associated with the application pool. So let's take a look at the unified request processing pipeline. And like I said, what happens is when requests go through the pipeline, they're going to be, we can have graphics, we can have ASP.NET, we can have any type of traffic coming through. So ASP .NET functionality, such as forms, authentication, roles, URL authorization, and output caching, these were only available in ASP.NET. And the content types of ASPX. Static files, ASP pages, and other content would not benefit from these services. So in IS-7, all ASP.NET services can be provided uniformly to all content because of the unified requesting processing pipeline. All web content can be protected with existing ASP.NET 2.0. So how does authentication work in IS-7.0? Well, in some environments, you want to ensure that an application cannot read anything that's connected with another application. An application by default can read contents as logged on user or as the process identity. These are provided to the anonymous users. And also, if multiple pools share the same identity, applications from one pool can read content. So by putting them into different application pools, we're making sure that they can't share the content, can't read the content of another application pool. Application pool sandboxing is what we call it in IS-7.0. IS-7.0, this is a feature that is transparent to the user, so the user doesn't even know what's going on. This is actually done within IS-7. This combines with disabling anonymous user for anonymous access to make the sandboxing much easier. The sandboxing allows for simplifying the access control lists on content to make it more secure and easier to manage. So this is a new feature that's within IS-7.0, making it so that we can protect our applications easier. So let's take a look at the authentication types. We got basic, Integrated, Digest, Anonymous, Active Directory Client Certificate Authentication, IIS Client Certificate Mapping Authentication, ASP.NET Impersonation, and ASP.NET Forms Authentication. So basic authentication is authentication that prompts you for a username and password, which the password is known as the credentials. The credentials are passed in clear text, unencrypted transmission over the network, and we call this Base64. So basic authentication is going to be used for non-Microsoft websites, such as if you have a website on a Unix box, a Linux box, or so forth, or you have individuals that want to get access to information. So a basic authentication is used for non-Microsoft websites. Now, integrated Windows authentication is the next one. This is using Kerberos, which Kerberos is not available across a firewall. It uses Windows credentials of the user. Hashing is used to encrypt the username and password. So we have encryption within integrated Windows authentication. Requires that you have an Active Directory domain services. Now, Active Directory Domain Services by default uses Kerberos version 5. And Kerberos version 5 is our ticket granting ticket type system. The thing is that it does not go across the firewall. So if you're going to use integrated Windows authentication, this is going to be used for our intranet, so within our environment. Cannot cross those servers or proxy servers or firewalls. And also it requires IE5 or later. So if you're going to implement integrated Windows authentication, you have to make sure your clients have IE5 or later to be able to access the content. Now, Digest authentication works just like basic. Only thing is that it encrypts the credentials with a one-way hash. And it does require that you have Active Directory domain services to be able to use Digest authentication. Works with IE5 or later, just like integrated Windows authentication. Any network configuration can use Digest authentication, and it's considered medium security. So basic is not really no security at all, unless you implement TLS on top of it. Digest authentication is going to give you the second layer, the medium security, and then you have integrated Windows authentication, which is going to give you your best because it's using Kerberos. Anonymous authentication, like I said, this allows anyone access to the web. This is like having no security at all, though, because what it does is it impersonates the IIS_user account, which what that is that's going to be the account that is going to be used. You want to limit the access. This is an individual coming through the web, for example. They're going to impersonate the account that you select for the anonymous account. It's not part of the authenticated users group. It's part of the everyone group. And if you remember with NT, Windows 2000, anybody who came in had full control of the C drive. And that was a major hole. And that's what people were saying. Hey, Windows isn't secure. Because if you had somebody coming in from a web application into your web server, they had full control of your hard drive. Well, Windows 2003, what they did is they changed it to authenticated users has read. And then in Windows Server 2008, that's when they came up with a secondary logon, which is a UAC, user account control. And a user account control, the administrator, for example, doesn't even have as much permission as the original one in Windows 2003. Now the administrator, you have to do a secondary logon to be able to get all the administrator permissions. Works with any browser, anonymous authentication does, and any network configuration. It's considered as no security because anybody that comes through has access to the content. Active Directory Client Certificate Authentication is the next type of authentication that we do have in IIS 7.0. You can map Active Directory Client Certificates for authentication across multiple servers. It lets IIS automatically authenticate the client without using other authentication methods, so they don't have to put a username and password in. As soon as they start to connect, it's going to authenticate them based on a certificate. Only thing is if you have this enabled, you cannot use Active Directory client certificate mapping for any other sites hosted on the server. So you can only do it one site at a time. You have IIS client certificate mapping authentication also. And this also uses client certificates for authentication across multiple servers. It lets IIS automatically authenticate the clients based on a certificate. If this is enabled, though, you cannot use Active Directory client certificate mappings for any other sites. So you can see right here that we can do it by a specific user, or we can also use by authenticated user. So when a client's coming through or a user is coming through, if they're part of the directory services, like the local directory services, you have an account or part of a group, then it'll be authenticated based on a login. But if there's a specific user, then we can add in those specific users that are going to be able to have access. ASP.NET forms-based authentication is the next type of authentication. And you can manage registration authentication at the application level. This is done instead of using other authentication mechanisms in IIS 7.0. So what happens is the authentication will be passed to your application. So you may use SQL Server or MySQL or whatever you're using access to track the users when they go in and they register with your website. So they put in a username and a password that they want to use from that point on. Users register and provide their credentials using a login form, and this information is passed as clear text. SSL encryption can be used to protect the transmission of those credentials. So all you're going to do is you just make it so that your website is accessed through HTTPS instead of HTTP. So that would mean port 443 instead of port 80. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Michael Kraut. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comments box below. Thank you for your time, and thank you for letting me into your world and talk to you about technology. Tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. Bye-bye now.